I have a very interesting study tonight in many different aspects. So I want to start with showing the number 70 in Scripture. And I think probably we know some things with the number 70, right? To a degree. You know, Abraham is 70 years old when he's called out. And certain things that have the number 70 in them. Or actually, Terah, the father of Abraham, was 70 years old when Abraham was born. But I want to go through different things with 70 because 70 in Scripture is an endpoint number. And we know that numbers in general in Scripture are very important, right? Number one is the number for Yahweh. Number two is the number of unity. Three is resurrection. Four is a world number. Five is grace. Six is the number of man. Seven is the number of completion. Eight is new beginnings. Nine is judgment. 10 is incomplete government, right? So we see all these numbers that play out. And then the number 40, right? The number of overcoming or the number of trial. And 70 is, as we'll see, is an endpoint number. It periodically states as an endpoint number, which means when we see things that it's the 70th, a lot of times it's going to be an endpoint. I'm just going to read you some very quickly because I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but I want to go over it because it's very important leading into what we're going to be studying tonight. The number 70 is shown in the examples below, symbolizes the life cycle, because we're going to see that from Moses himself. A lot of people don't realize Moses wrote Psalm 90, where it talks about the life cycle is 70 years, and it's an endpoint number. So the post-flood world was repopulated by 70 descendants of Noah, resulting in 70 nations. You can get this from Genesis 10. I could do a whole Bible study just on this. I may sometime, but tonight I'll just read these scriptures because, like I said, I want to go over this part of it quick enough. Terah, the father of Abraham, was 70 years old when Abraham was born, Genesis 11:26. Moses appointed 70 elders to be the governing body of Israel, Numbers 11:16. The Jews were liberated from captivity in Babylon after 70 years, Jeremiah 29. Yahweh's plan of redemption for Israel and Jerusalem is comprised of a 70-week prophecy. Daniel 9, right? 24 through 27. Yeshua sent out 70 disciples to harvest the field of believers. Luke 10. A typical human lifespan is 70 years. Psalm 90 and verse 10. And Israel's greatest ruler, King David, died at the age of 70. I say it's an endpoint number in many respects. The other thing that's interesting is seeing the number 70 in the history of Israel, how it played in. So listen to this part very carefully. The number 70, like I said, symbolizes endpoints. And it's interesting that events in Israel's history tend to occur at 70-year intervals. From the destruction of the first temple in 586 BC to the completion of the second temple, 515-516 BC, is 70 years. From the completion of the second temple, 515-516 BC, to the completion of the wall around Jerusalem, 445. That starts the Daniel 9 prophecy. 70 years, right? Again, endpoint number. From the UN vote in favor for the establishment of the modern state in Israel in 1947 to the first recognition of a foreign power to recognize Jerusalem, and that was President Trump, was exactly 70 years, moving the embassy from there. The most significant 70-year intervals, though, that relate to Israel in modern times is also very interesting. From the first modern settlement in the land of Israel, it was in Petra Tikva, in 1878, to the birth of the nation of Israel in 1948, 70 years again. So the very first settlement, that's when Israel started coming back in the land in the late 1800s, until they become a state is exactly 70 years. And from the first major step in reestablishing the state of Israel, the first Zionist Congress, remember, with Theodore Herzl, when was it? 1897. To the final restoration of Jerusalem, 1967, 70 years. So this is why when you understand this, ancient time and modern time, you could start figuring out certain things that may or may not happen. Because of years, the way years go, you know, 40 years, 50 years, and particularly here, 70 years being an endpoint. Notice that both of these events related to Israel's restoration to the land in 1948 and 1967 are preceded by an influential event 70 years earlier. The odds against this happening are minuscule. I mean, it's like, you know, millions and millions and millions to one that something can happen like that. And also what's very interesting is the same time that the embassy, 2017-2018, that endpoint number was also the last time we kept the feast in Israel was 2018-2019. We kept Sukkot 2018, we kept Passover 2019. So I didn't know it at the time, but it falls in the same thing. The other thing that's interesting, what about 2018 and 2019, which would be 70 years from 1948 when Israel becomes a nation, is the drafting of the Middle East Peace Plan, remember? They didn't want to say much of this in the news because they didn't want to give President Trump any credit, but he made a gigantic peace deal with Saudi Arabia and these other Gulf nations with Israel in 2018, calling it the deal of the century, if you remember they call it that. So again, 70 years exactly from the time Israel's a nation, this peace deal was made. It's interesting that they call it the, you know, the peace deal of the century, and we also know when they say peace and safety, and sudden destruction comes. So while there have been several big peace deals, like Oslo, I'm going to talk a little bit about Oslo tonight, this is really the first one that really stuck. Because Oslo, they were making a peace deal, but there really was no peace deal from there. So like we said, Psalm 90 and verse 10, the days of our years are 70, and if by any strength live 80, yet their pride is labor and vanity, for it soon passes away and we fly away. So 70, again, is the end point of life. It's an end point of life number. So we see this many times, like I said, and you could notice it not just in Scripture. You might notice it in other things, even in your own life or things that you see. But 70 is an endpoint number. Jeremiah 25, verse 11 and 12. Another very important 70 endpoint. Who does that come to? And this whole land will be a waste and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall be when 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation and the land of the Chaldeans for their iniquity, says Yahweh, and I will make it everlasting ruin. So again, according to the mouth of Yahweh, when 70 years, another endpoint, is over for Babylon, then Babylon is going to be judged. And we're getting very close if we're not there, you know, to that happening. So since all these other things have happened, we're not doubting, because Yahweh clearly even says it there. We don't have to guess that Babylon will be destroyed after 70 years. Yahweh says it. So 70 is an extremely important number in Scripture, symbolizing the life cycle and an endpoint. And the reason why I'm starting this study with that is because something very, very big just happened in the world 1 month ago. Queen Elizabeth, who took the throne in a Shemitah year in 1952, she served as the queen and the head of the British monarch and also the Church of England. I don't know if you knew that, that the monarch is the head of the church the way that the pope is the head of Catholicism. For exactly 70 years, 10 Shemitahs, 10 being the number of incomplete government, right? Because the government, as I'm going to show you, coming from the monarch, is not the government of the kingdom of Yahweh. It's the opposite. It's actually Satan's government on the earth. So exactly 10 Shemitahs, exactly 70 years, number of incomplete government. So I was given some Bible studies this summer, and I was talking about the Shemitah, and I was talking about Queen Elizabeth. I was given that as one of the examples, and I kept saying that, I said, I can almost guarantee you that she will not be in office after the Shemitah is over. I wasn't predicting her death, although at 96, like I said, I don't have to be a prophet, but I knew she was either going to step down or something. Because I knew with the cycles of seven and the Shemitah cycles and the number 70, I was 99% sure she would not last past this year. And she didn't. She didn't, as we're going to see. This is extremely important. So she died in September 2022, right before the Shemitah started. And actually what was interesting is, because they usually have 10 days of mourning after the monarch dies, they extended it an extra week. And her days of mourning ended the same day the Shemitah began. So, You know, Yahweh is showing us some things if we have eyes to see. And who now is the new monarch? King Charles, who they announced, they kept saying it would be in June that he'll officially be named a monarch. Now they named it, they said May 6th is going to be. I haven't started looking up why that day, why it could be important. But again, he will take the throne again in a Shemitah year, the same as his mother did. So, with all these things, very prophetic things going on, the information I'm going to share with you tonight, a lot of it I heard almost 25 years ago. And if you're familiar with a book by a man called Tim Cohen, The Antichrist in a Cup of Tea, he wrote this book back in the late 1990s, and he was giving many reasons why possibly now King Charles could be the anti-Messiah. Pretty interesting book. A lot of it is speculation, but very interesting book. A lot of the stuff I'm going to go over is in the book. Some of the stuff not in the book. But so I've known this a long time ago, and Charles is a very, very interesting person in a lot of ways. Very different than the mother. You know, he's very much an activist. He's an activist for things. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but he was very much involved in the Oslo Accords in the 1990s, making the peace with Israel. He was a big broker in that. And today, he is actually the originator with Klaus Schwab in the Great Reset. So tomorrow, I will show two videos. I'll show you the one on Prince Charles I put together that, you know, it's not pretty, but I think it's necessary to see because of the times we're in, because he will be a big player here. You know, very much different than the mother. And the second one is on the Great Reset. And I don't know how much you know about it or don't know, but you'll understand it tomorrow night. But he is involved with Klaus Schwab. Actually, recently in the last few months, saying that even if it takes a world war, we need to do this with the Great Reset. So he's going to be a big player here. The mother, I don't know much. She kept quiet, Queen Elizabeth. She seemed like a good lady. She ruled for all those years. You know, I'm not going to really mention her much here today. And we really don't know much about her. You know, a little bit about her background and whatnot. You know, she worked with mechanics in the war and fixed the trucks. But Charles, he comes from a whole different breed, as we're going to see. And there are very demonic things from their family and what they do. They do worship Satan. I could prove that to you when I show you these videos from people that even had worked there, firsthand eyewitness testimony to some of the stuff that was being done there inside of, you know, Buckingham Palace. So I want to start by explaining this, though. Why is it so important? Where do we even get these royal, you know, the royal family from, and where does all this stuff come from? Well, there's actually something called Illuminati. I think what everybody knows, that there's certain bloodlines who believe that because of where they were born, simply their heritage, that they're higher than other human beings, that they're more important than other human beings. And the plan with this Great Reset is actually from these people, from these bloodlines, to take control over the world. And for the other people, now they think there's way too many, and it's a fact, they openly say this, the world is only sustainable at 500 million people. Okay, considering China alone has three times that amount. What are you going to do with all the other people, right? So that's why I say the man who's pushing this vaccine, Bill Gates, right, who is claiming the world is only sustainable at 500 million people, I don't think I want to take a vaccine that he's promoting, you know, because he's promoting things to kill people. But I'm just going to read you off these 13 families. These are the 13 families of these bloodlines. Astor, the Astor family, the Collins family, the Bundy family, the DuPont family, the Freeman family, the Lee family, the Onassis family, the Kennedy family, the Rockefeller family, the Rothschild family, the Russell family, the Van Dunn family, and the most important one, the Merovingian bloodline. Because what they believe, okay, and what I'm telling you here tonight is not true. There's no truth to it whatsoever, but they believe it. They believe it 100%, and these are people, the most powerful people in the world that believe this. What they believe is, they believe that Yeshua never died, and that Yeshua and Mary Magdalene got married, and had offspring, and they believe they are the offspring of that. That's their belief. Now again, it's an absolute 100% lie. You could prove it upside down, but this is their belief. They actually believe that, and that's why they believe their bloodline is higher. That's why they believe that they are a type, and they're saying that now. With all this stuff with artificial intelligence, you saw the film we watched the other day by that guy Hariri, who's a really dangerous guy, and he said now we can hack into people's brains and we can do all these things. And who was he saying? The elites. Who are the elites? These 13 families that come from here. And that's why they intermarry. You know, Queen Elizabeth was third cousin to her husband, Prince Philip. They intermarried to keep the same bloodlines. I'll read a little later. All the people Prince Charles is related to, U.S. presidents, George Washington, including George Bush, and different presidents, because they intermarried to try to keep the same bloodline from it. But that's what these people believe. They literally believe that they are the offspring of Mary Magdalene and Yeshua. And they believe that when Yeshua, they call it the swoon theory, he really didn't die, and then, you know, he was alive and he got away. And they believe that Joseph of Arimathea took the spear that he was speared with and the cup from the Last Supper. And that he took that cup, and there was some of the blood from Yeshua that got in that cup, and that they feel that whoever through history now has controlled that spear in the cup, and there's many books that are written on this, you know, that they are the rulers of the world. And one story that goes, whether this is true or not, I don't know, that Hitler actually had them in his possession, and the night that he lost that was the night that he lost the war and he killed himself. So I don't know if that's true, but that's a story that goes around from there. So Prince Charles is related to George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, both of the Harrisons, President Tyler, Taylor, and both, of course, George Bush's. And he's also a distant relative to John F. Kennedy. So much of this started during Crusader times. And that's why, you know, I don't know how much you know about Crusader times, and they may seem interesting, and they may seem exciting, but this is where a lot of these legends came out of the Crusader times. So from about 1090, you know, when the Crusaders were going, to about 1500, this is what happens after 1500, that's when the Ottoman Empire starts after that. But the Crusaders were going from that time, from around 1090 to 1500. That's when Freemasonry starts. And the secret societies are starting, such as Knights Templar. Some of you may have heard of Knights Templar, which actually the Order of the Garter, which is the order from the Queen herself, is from the Knights Templar. That comes out of the Knights Templar. The Knights of Malta, you've probably heard of them. And this is where they believe all these royal bloodlines supposedly came from, these secret societies. The royal monarch in England, who was Queen Elizabeth before, today it's now King Charles, is the head of the secret society called the Order of the Garter, in which the Knights Templar comes from. Robert Flood, who was the Grand Master from 1595 to 1637, he worked on and oversaw the first translation of the King James Bible. So when you see some of these things in King James and why they're incorrect, you can kind of put it together because of these bloodlines and what they're doing there from that. King James I was part of the royal line of King Charles. So they're directly descended from him, from King James and the royal family today. Godfrey de Bouillon was a Merovingian crusader in 1090, and he found the Order of Zion, also called the Knights Templar. He took the title King of Jerusalem, which all Merovingian leaders after him also took, and they believe the destiny of the order is to rule the world from Jerusalem. Right? So who do we know who rules the world from Jerusalem before Yeshua comes? The anti-Messiah. Right? So this is why this isn't a game. They may seem like a nice people out there waving on the porch, you know, and this and that, but that is all a front. You know, when you see what these people do and what they're doing behind the scenes, and how much they're involved in world power to bring all this stuff about. And like I said, in the Queen, who was older, and didn't seem as much, although she was part and even head of some of these secret society, you know, the Club of Rome, the Committee of 300. But Charles, his whole life, has been active in these, you know, an activist in many of these things, including, you know, quote unquote, climate change. He's been one of the biggest people in the world for that. So, also the Habsburg dynasty that descended from the Merovingian one took the title after that. This became known as the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. The York Rite, there's two rites of Freemasonry, the Scottish Rite and the York Rite. So the Scottish Rite came from the Habsburg, and that was the one from Britain. The York Rite eventually went to the New World, right, which became the United States, and they went to this little island, and that's why they called it New York, because it's the New York Rite of the Freemasonry. They're also anciently connected to Zoroastrianism, right, that comes from ancient Iran, which had the all-seeing eye as their symbol. And through Prince Charles, Charles descended from the Habsburg dynasty. Oh, through Prince Philip, I'm sorry, through his father, he came through the Habsburg dynasty. And Queen Elizabeth's line went through the Merovingian one through Godfrey de Bouillon. She's a direct descendant from him. Prince Philip was third cousin to Queen Elizabeth and goes back to the Danish royals to King Charlemagne. That's where Charles's name comes from. Charlemagne means Charles the Great. And he's named after him and a direct descendant from him. They also believe that their lineage goes back to King David. And I remember years ago in Jerusalem when we were living there, that at the time Prince Charles went on national TV in Israel and he was showing a genealogy chart showing his lineage going all the way back to King David. And that's one of the reasons why he's very much involved in the peace process there and these other things. But actually, their biggest descent is German. If you really look into them, they really come from German descent. So there's something else that's very interesting that they believe in. And it comes from Jeremiah 33 in verse 17. I'm going to read it. It says, "For so says Yahweh, not a man sitting on the throne of the house of Israel will be cut off to David." So what they believe is that they believe that they are the descendants fulfilling this prophecy. That they're from the descendant, they're sitting on the throne over there in England, and that's coming from the descendant of King David. And they believe that King Zedekiah's daughter, when Jerusalem was being taken, that King Zedekiah's daughter called Tiatipi was taken by the prophet Jeremiah to Great Britain and intermarried there and started the royal line with the line of David. So this is actually a folklore that goes to a lot of things. And even in Church of God, believe it or not, they believe this. You know, they believe that this was true. I've never seen any evidence to believe it's true, but there's a lot of people that believe it's true. And if you believe in British Israelitism, which I don't believe in, I don't believe it's true, then this is the basis for it. That they believe that's where, you know, like I said, the king of Israel, when it was overtaken, that he took the king's daughter there, she intermarried, and boom, the royal family today are descendants from there. So, wow, can you imagine? You know, we're talking about humility and all this stuff, right? Self-righteousness. If you're growing up where, like, you know, King Charles doesn't even put the toothpaste on his toothbrush, he has someone do it, and now he, you know, not that he can't afford an alarm clock, but he has somebody come every day now at 9 o'clock to play the bagpipes as his alarm clock. You start to become entitled, and you start to feel you're entitled, you know. And it's like the politicians. They never work a day in their life, right? So what do? They don't understand what it is for the average, everyday working person. And this is the mentality that comes, because they believe they're better than us because they're from these bloodlines, you know. And now, trying to do through artificial intelligence and manipulating of DNA and cloning, they literally, and you heard it the other night, that they believe they can create life. So we're at Genesis 6 all over again. Here we are. And that's why I say that this is important now, because I don't believe there's coincidences in anything. And although the queen was old, it definitely isn't a coincidence of her passing right at this time. Right after 70 years on the throne, right after 10 incomplete government, 10 Shemitahs, 10 times 7, and right before the Shemitah's beginning. And I have no proof of it, but I wouldn't even doubt it if they planned it this way. You know, if it was kind of like Queen Elizabeth fulfilled her destiny, and now, you know, they're going to, one way or another, like they did with the pipeline in Russia, make sure that the next phase of this plan can come out, you know. And again, that's very much speculation. I want to say that right off the top of my head, but who knows. The other thing I want to say that's very interesting is Genesis 28. Let's go there. So, because they believe, well, let me read a little bit of the story first, and I'll tell you what they believe. And this is with Jacob, remember? And they came on a place and stayed there all night, for the sun had gone down. I'm in Genesis 28, verse 11. And he took stones of the place and placed them at his head, and he lay down in that place. And he dreamed, and behold, a staircase was placed on the earth, its top reaching to the heavens. And behold, the messengers of Elohim were going up and down there. And I believe this possibly could be where the tabernacle of David is, because they have two staircases, one going up, one going down right below where that stellar stone is. Again, speculation, but you never know. And verse 13, and behold, Yahweh stood above and said, I am Yahweh, the Elohim of your father Abraham and the Elohim of Isaac. The land on which you are lying, I will give it to you and your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall be spread to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed in you and in your seed. And behold, I will be with you and guard you in every place in which you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not forsake you until I have surely done that which I have spoken to do. And Jacob awakened from his sleep and said, surely Yahweh is in this place, and I did not know. And he was afraid and said, how fearful is this place? This is nothing except the house of Elohim, and this is the door to heaven. And Jacob started up early in the morning and took the stone which he placed at his head, and he placed it as a pillar, and he poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Beth-El, the house of El, yet the name of the city was Luz. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if Elohim be with me and keep me in the way which I am going, and give to me bread to eat and clothes to wear, and I return to the in peace to the house of my father, then Yahweh shall be my Elohim. And this sandstone which I have placed as a memorial pillar shall become the house of Elohim, and all which you shall give to me, I will tithe the tenth to you. They believe that Jacob took this very, not Jacob, but Jeremiah took this very stone that Jacob laid on and brought it to England when he took Zedekiah's daughter. And since 1300s, they've been coronating the king or the queen on that throne, where they believe the stone on that throne is the stone from Jeremiah. I have a picture of it here. I'll pass it around. I'll show it to you. So, whoops, upside down. So is their monarch. But for the last 700 years, they've been using this stone for that. Queen Elizabeth was the last one to be coronated on there. And now King Charles will be coronated. I'll pass it around that everybody could look at it, but you could see where the stone is underneath. I'll tell you right up front, I don't believe it's the stone. I don't believe it for a second. But they believe it. That's the point you have to understand. Not whether this is true or not, but the same way that we have our beliefs and we're ready to die for our beliefs. I don't know if they're ready to die for their belief, but they're ready to kill us for their belief. So that's even worse. So they really believe this with all their heart. So we can pass this around and take a look at it. So like I said, Queen Elizabeth was coronated on that stone 70 years ago, and now King Charles will also both in a Shemitah year. Revelation 13 and verse 2. When King Charles, I forget what age he was, but at a certain age he was coronated the Prince of Wales. The Prince of Wales is the one who is next to the throne. Now William has actually been named Prince of Wales. Many people think not Charles, but William will be the man. And William did have a deadly wound. He got hit in the head when he was younger with, I think it was a golf club that almost killed him. Interesting story on that. But Revelation 13 and verse 2 says, "And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and its feet were like the feet of a bear, and its mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave its power to it, and its throne, and great authority." So, when he was coronated, Prince of Wales, he was coronated on the a throne of the queen that is a dragon throne. And Charles actually said, "The great dragon, Satan, has given me my power." Literally, he said those words. Charles stated his faith in Satan crowned him. His father, Prince Philip, and Prince Charles are both tied to Satanism, and they both have a dragon in their coat of arms. In the 1990s, I don't know, how many people here have ever heard of Bohemian Grove in the United States? Nobody else? Bohemian Grove in the United States, and this is true, it's documented, somebody went in there and actually filmed it. I might not believe it if I didn't see it with my own eyes. But some of the most important leaders in the world, presidents of the United States and presidents of the country, George Bush's and Bill Clinton, they go every year for 2 weeks in August to a place called Bohemian Grove in the forest in San Francisco. And it's a real bad place. They have real bad stuff that goes on there, and pedophile and really, really bad stuff that goes on. And they take all their clothes off, they wear these black robes, and they worship. They do worship, and they do what they call the sacrifice of care to this 30-foot owl, and they burn a sacrifice there. Some people say they do human sacrifice, but they definitely do a sacrifice. You can see it, because like I said, people have snuck in there, and they filmed it, and they see it. Well, Prince Philip, when he went to America in the 90s, it wasn't that time of the year, he specifically asked them to have a special meeting just for him because he wanted to go to Bohemian Grove, and they did. So like some of these top politicians in the world that are running countries, where do they find the time to go 2 weeks, you know, running around naked with black hoods in a forest in San Francisco doing a sacrifice to a 30-foot owl? You know, like I said, you almost can't believe it's true, but it is. That's the scary part about it, that they actually do this stuff. That a lot of these people are involved in Satanism. There's no doubt about it. You know, in Freemasonry, you know, at the 30 degree of Freemason, you have to make a vow that Lucifer is G-O-D. So there's no way somebody could be a 33rd degree Mason and not know what they're doing. It's just not. And yet, just about every American president has been a Freemason. Most of the politicians are Freemasons. Many lawyers are Freemasons. All the top people, a lot of them are Freemasons. And it is not a Christian organization whatsoever. It's a satanic organization. And again, their lower part, Freemason is just the beginning of it. Then you have Bilderbergers, like I said, Committee of 300, all these higher secret societies that are from these 13 bloodlines, and they get together around the year speaking about how to enslave us and how to take over world dominion. And I've known about the World Economic Forum for a long time, but I never knew, except for the last maybe 6 months to a year, how much power that has. You know, because economics is where it's at, and the corporations and the people that are involved in that. And like I said, we'll see that video tomorrow night also. So I mentioned the head of the British monarchy is actually the head of the Church of England, such as the Pope is the head of Catholicism. Charles, Prince Charles, now King Charles, is extremely big in the ecumenical movement, you know, bringing all the churches together. He's been big on that for a long time, and I've seen interviews with him where when he went to the Vatican, he was talking about uniting again the Church of England with the Catholic Church. We know it was separated because of Henry VIII when he remarried, and then he started the Church of England, and he's trying to bring them together with others. So it's very interesting that the head of the Church of England also has a title called the Defender of the Faith, meaning the faith of the Church of England.
But Charles changed that title to just Defender of Faith, All Faiths. So again, this is one of his big things, is bringing all, you know, religions together. The Committee of 300 is one of the, if not the top, you know, secret society in the world, from the Freemasons and all that. And of course, King Charles, now the head of the monarchy, is the head of the Committee of 300, and also the Bilderberger Group, as they had all Freemasonry, which I said is a satanic cult. Prince Charles is also the head of the United World Colleges, because what are they doing? The same way that Hitler started with the Hitler Youth, you know? This has been going on since at least 1920, maybe even before, of indoctrinating the schools, indoctrinating what the youth are going to learn, indoctrinating the teachers, and getting all of these, you know, their indoctrination into our children. But now we really see it. Now we really, it's shocking with some of the things, especially in the USA, with what on earth they're teaching children, that they said things that they're teaching children, 5 and 6 and 7 year olds, that if you actually said that to a child outside the school, you would be arrested. You'd be a pedophile. Yet in the school, they're actually teaching these things to 5 and 6 and 7 year olds. And that's why I praise Yahweh that some of the states, at least like Florida, are making laws now saying we're not going to teach this. There's no way we're going to do this. And Klaus Schwab has the, you know, young, whatever he calls it, young leaders of the future or something. And the head of Canada, you know, the president of Canada or Prime Minister of Canada, Trudeau, the Prime Minister of New Zealand and many other places around the world went through that. So they're not the heads of Canada and New Zealand, these other countries. They're the lackeys under Klaus Schwab. And he boldly, I'll show you the film tomorrow, he boldly sits there and says how he has all these guys in his lap and their cabinets, which is really scary. You know, you wonder why these governments allow this kind of thing to go on. But Prince Charles is also the head of the World United World Colleges and the Prince of Wales Business Leaders Forum, which is a subsidiary of the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab. And I mentioned this before, that almost three quarters of the largest economies in the world are now corporations. So this is really scary, because it's a system. It's not human beings with a heart that, you know, like you go to the bank years back, and even if you were behind in the loan, you know the banker, the one who owns the bank, and he knows you're a good family man. He knows you're working. He says, okay, don't worry about it. You know, make your payments. We'll work it out. Not in the day and age we live in today. Today it's totally different, and the corporations look for one thing, profit. And if you look at COVID, you know, it was about a lot more than profit, but they certainly did make a lot of profit. And while all the little mom and pop businesses were all going under, 70% of the businesses that closed never opened back up. All the big corporations, Pfizer and J&J and Amazon, right? And all these, they are making a fortune, you know, over everybody else's losses as they bring these things together. They also forced lockdowns, and the vaccine started the QR code. This is all coming from the corporate side, right? King Charles was the originator with Klaus Schwab of the Great Reset. He was with him. They was of the originator. And now as king, they are ready to take their quest for world dominion to the next level. To control the world and have control of Jerusalem so that Satan can rule from there for 42 months in his end time anti-Messiah New World Order system that he's been creating since 1945 when they created United Nations, World Bank, what's the other one? The International Monetary Fund. All of these organizations were all created in 1945, so the end time can come with a political system, with an economic system, and also a religious system. Prince Charles was heavily involved in the 1990 Oslo Accords. He was the one really behind it, putting it all together with the Israelis and the Palestinians, to give part of the land of Israel to the Palestinians and also make Jerusalem an international city with the Pope as its overseer. That was a big part of Oslo that they tried to hide at the time. Now, you could go online and you could read the whole Oslo Accord. It's not hidden anymore. And it is outlined in there that that was the plan, that Jerusalem would not be owned by the Palestinians or the Israelis. It would be an international city, and the Pope would be overseer. And that's when John Paul II was there. When that didn't happen, he really freaked out, and it muffled feathers quite a bit, but that was the plan. It's all written in the Oslo Accords. It is Satan who is behind this evil, warped, royal bloodline mindset that these people have. But the scary part is not just that they deal in witchcraft and Satan worship, but that they actually believe their lies that they are the offspring of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene, and that they are superhumans who should be ruling the world, and that the rest of us people are simply useless eaters, and that 75 to 80% of the people alive today need to be exterminated. And that's why it's scary to think how close we're getting to nuclear war. That doesn't have to be this way, but it's purposely being done, unfortunately, in many innocent people that are going to be hurt by it. Because the world cannot sustain itself with more than 500 million people. That's the way they believe. So when you see it, the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry is more on the ecological side, you know, and all this stuff with global warming, where the York Rite is more on the side of world power and, you know, money. So you see the two of them working in a little different way. That is why they make up lies like climate change. They start wars and now planned out a massive food shortage and starvation for millions that most likely is going to start this winter and spring. That is why they're planning war with Russia, who no longer wants to be part of the global order. And there's a massive power struggle that will play out in the coming years. Because face it, maybe people like us, there's nothing we can do about it. But when you're looking at countries like Russia and China and North Korea and some of these bigger countries that also have nuclear weapons, you know, there's a lot of variables that may not be able to be controlled in what's coming. These top Freemasons that come from the 13 bloodlines, and most importantly, the British royal family, because they are the top family in these 13 bloodlines, they believe that they are a type of a semi-God. And as we're waiting for Yeshua to bring the true kingdom of Yahweh to this earth, they are just as much waiting for their anti-Messiah who will bring in Satan's kingdom for 42 months. You know, which again will seem like an eternity to them at that time. And although this is an absolute lie, the key is that they believe this and they live to make their sick goal a reality, and they have the money, the means, and the motive and the opportunity to do so. So that's why we really got to be careful. And we got to watch for the days ahead. And I think with Queen Elizabeth passing, I think it's a major move. Because with Charles in charge now, he is going to bring this stuff as quick as he can. Because like I said, it's hard to really know what was behind the Queen because she didn't say much. But she seemed to be a little more in her thoughts, you know, like of not rushing into things and this and that, where Charles is the total opposite. You know, he seems to have a problem with patience, a problem with dealing with people, people that have worked there at the, you know, the Buckingham Palace for years have talked about different things with him. So we're in a whole new different world now. The fact that he's not just the King of England, right? And he put an application to be King of Europe. So that's what he wants to be, is the King of Europe and King of the world, you know, ultimately. So we are in a whole new plan now. So with Charles now as king, they are that much closer to their goal. Let's watch and pray during the Shemitah year as Charles takes the throne and as he works with Klaus Schwab to try and bring in the Great Reset. So this is why we have to understand, you know, to me, wow, it almost seems like a year or two ago that all of these restrictions were there, you know, and they were sticking those things up our nose and you had to get QR codes to travel. But it was only a couple months ago that they stopped it. June, July is when they stopped these things. Just a few short months ago, and only because they're planning their next thing. So they're letting everybody, you know, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes. So they're trying, they don't want to let the people be passive, let them think that all this is past. And wow, Because when the next one comes, like I say, it's not just a virus, but you're talking about a total collapse of the world economy, a bringing in of a digital currency, which means you'll only be able to trade, maybe in the beginning it'll be with a QR, but definitely it's going to be with the chip. We already saw the Luciferis, they already have the technology. And with World War, which will absolutely change everything. If you look, the vast majority, 80% of the people in the world today were not even alive, you know, in the 1930s and early 40s when World War was going on. And we are, with the technology they have now, the weapons they have now, you know, you look at what one atomic bomb did in Hiroshima, and one nuclear bomb could be 100 to 1,000 times more powerful than that one bomb that happened. And like I've been saying for years, I don't know where the first bomb will drop, but I can guarantee you there will not only be one bomb. Back then, nobody else could, they couldn't do anything. They didn't have the bomb. But today, there's no way that if somebody bombs another country, that country's just going to say, okay, we just submit, we give up. It ain't going to happen that way. And it's one sends one, they send three, they send six, they send 12. Who knows? Who knows? With the nuclear fallout, we've never lived in anything like this. But the Bible tells us, you know, it tells us about the people going bald in Isaiah, the women going bald and all this other stuff. And we're living it here. So I say as the people of Yahweh that as we understand that they are only more fervent in their planning, you understand about King Charles and the royal family and all the people behind him in the Great Reset. Do not get laxed. Don't get laxed in your spiritual life. Don't get laxed in, you know, in the little bit of time we have. We need to be coming out of the world. We need to be strengthening ourselves. And I call this year the Shemitah, I'm calling it the year of the relationship. You know, building our relationship from within out, with Yahweh first, with our family, with the congregation. You know, the year of the relationship. This is the year to rebuild all those relationships, you know, that maybe you've been putting off for whatever reason. So, like I said, we don't know, only Yahweh knows the time, in the times are in His hand, but when we look at everything, we know that time is not a lot. So I pray that we can use these studies and understand what's going on in world events, you know, not for fear, but to really understand where we need to be going from here and not to be deceived by all this. Because like I said, if I didn't know any better, you know, and I'm looking at this nice family up there, they got little kids, they all seem nice, they're all just waving from a balcony, I would never think that they're into the things that they're into. But as you'll see in the video, firsthand people that work for them that saw with their own eyes drinking blood and all other kinds of really, really bad stuff that was going on over there. So the evidence is, the preponderance of evidence is overwhelming to the satanic cult that's part of all this secret society and all these things that you never hear about, right? Even Freemasonry. How often do you ever see like a commercial for Freemasonry? You know, like you'll see sometimes, like now, there'll be like I don't know if you ever seen the commercial for Mike Lindell's MyPillow, but it's on like about 1,000 times a day, you know, and you're getting this stuff in your head, or, you know, for maybe it's insurance, but they keep bringing on these same commercials. Have you ever seen like, hey, why not join Freemasonry? Oh yeah, I'm a Freemason. It's great. Yeah, we drink blood. That you never ever hear it. You never see anything about it. And yet, whether you look in almost every country in the world, the very top of the people, the parliaments, the presidents, you know, all these people, the vast majority are involved in it to one degree or another. So why don't we hear anything about it? Because again, they're better at the underground satanic congregation than we are at the underground, you know, Yahweh's congregation. They stay pretty much quiet about it. But the thing is, now they're not even staying quiet. Now that they feel like they're accomplishing their goal, they openly come out and say it. And like I said, you'll hear tomorrow, you'll hear King Charles saying, calling for World War III. If we need to kill massive amounts of people to bring this in, it's worth it. So it's a scary time. But it's a time really to reflect, to grow better, to grow stronger, and to get ready for the kingdom of Yahweh. Because what does Yahweh say? As you see these things begin to happen, know that the time is at hand. Know it's close. So Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.